Hello, everybody. My name is Hector, and I am an alcoholic. And this morning, we're going to talk about prayer and meditation, my favorite step. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to lead you in a three-minute meditation. It's a guided meditation. So we don't just turn within. We'll let go of everything that happened until now, and we're going to meditate for 3 minutes. So if you close the doors, I'm going to speak a little bit very quietly during the meditation. Okay, so let's turn within and let go of everything that happened up to now, today, this week, last month, and we turn within, we relax the body, we sit in a good position, and we let go of the body. I'm going to very gently say a prayer, opening prayer for this workshop. How wonderful it is to take a moment and pause, to go within, and to let go of the past and the future, to concentrate in the now, where God is. And as I turn within, I know that every person here turns within to the same underlying power, this indwelling presence. It's our common denominator. I lovingly call this power God. I know that this workshop is a divine idea in the mind of God, that the compelling activity of the universe brought us together, that there is good loving work for us to do together. With great joy I bless and give thanks for these activities that are about to take place, fully knowing that these sober brothers and sisters are God's mouthpieces, expressing God's love, God's wisdom, God's compassion, with God's perfect clarity and gentleness. I declare this workshop a safe and sacred place. And we continue now in absolute silence. If we hear a noise or something, we take it as an opportunity to go deeper in our contact with our higher power, which is inside of us. If a thought comes, we don't fight it. We just observe it. We don't give it power. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, first to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you for joining me in this communion with God. This is my favorite step. If I were to ask a raise of hand, probably most people don't meditate. They're afraid of meditation. It's an inner communion with God, and I give workshops about prayer and meditation. The book tells me that there are certain points I have no power against the first drink, and the only power I have is my contact with God. And the only contact that God I can have is through prayer and meditation. And first I have to learn, what do I pray to? God, where is God? You know, what is God? And I personally don't know what God is, but I know that God is. You know, because I come from a Catholic background, and my God was a punishing God. This was not a loving God. And first I have to find out about God. And I found a definition that's not non-denominational that really helped me with God. It's by Joel Goldsmith. And he said, regardless of how high my concept of God is, it is wrong. Because it is still a concept. Eventually I have to lose all concepts and reach the consciousness that God is. And then let go of the subject, because with the mind I'm never going to know what God is. And the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says the same thing on page 46. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power which is God. And the book also tells me where I find that power. Because you see, I always thought God was floating somewhere in the air. And the book tells me, you know, page 55, we found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that He may be found. It was so with us. And that's what I believe that God is. How can I define a spiritual entity that takes care of 6 billion people at the same time? With great spiritual and theological authority had not been able to do it for 2,000 years. But I know that God is. How do I know that God is? My proof, I don't know what your proof is, meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, if you look around, we're all walking miracles. Before we came here, we were colossal failures. Somebody said that a church, a synagogue, or a temple is the house of God. But an AA workshop, AA meeting is God's workshop. And that's what I believe. And really, I felt the presence of God in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And somebody said, for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. For those who don't believe, no explanation will ever be sufficient. So I just believe. It makes me really feel very, very good that I believe in God. And there is a higher power that's really, really taking care of the universe. And that's what I believe. And because it's inside of me, that's how I pray. I pray to the God that's inside of me. And when I was asked, you know, to give a workshop on this particular subject, I wrote a few things that I'm going to share with you. But I also want you to know there's a spiritual law that whatever I say applies only to me. I can say, all of you should wear blue tomorrow. And what am I saying? I'm going to wear blue because you're going to wear whatever the hell you want. I said, people should not do this. Say, so whatever I say from the podium applies only to me. This is what I believe. This is what I practice. And this is what I share. What I learned through prayer and meditation, this is some of the things that I wrote. First, let's read this step. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. To improve. See, this is the 11th step. It's the crowning achievement after I work the preceding 10 steps. That means I have to have already a relationship from the preceding 10 steps to improve on that. And it's a conscious contact. What does that mean? It means that I have to be conscious that what I am, God is. What I believe is that God loved me so much that He created me in His own image. I'm just an extension of God. The book says, I of myself am nothing but the Father within does the work. And basically that's what I believe. That I'm just a channel through which God can shine. I have no talent of my own. Whatever talent I have, I didn't go to Macy's and bought it. It's God given. And how I use it, I pay back to God. So I have to develop a conscious contact with God. And see, inside of me there is an everlasting source of power. Better known in AA as God's grace. If I learn to harness it, that power can heal me. It can inspire me by telling me what to do and how to do it. He can give me inner peace, and most importantly, He can give me direct connection to the indwelling power of God. That power most easily can be accessed by prayer and meditation. Two practices have been around for thousands of years before anybody knew anything about AA. Faith without prayer is aimless. Prayer is basically a dialogue with God for the purpose of aligning myself with the will of God. Man has always longed for a relationship with a higher power, and prayer is the proper channel to do that. You see, prayer does something to the mind of the one praying. It doesn't do anything to God. The nature of God doesn't alter. It's always love. And we must pray only for God's will and God's guidance. Otherwise, we're telling God what to do. And I don't know what's good for me. You know, I thought having a Mercedes was good for me. Being on television was good for me. Having a house, having a wonderful clothes. And had all that, and I ended up dead for 3 days in an intensive care unit. They had to revive me twice. So obviously, Hector doesn't know what's good for him. Sometimes prayer is an easy task, but in general, for most of us, it is not. As a general rule, most people do not enjoy praying. We get bored, lazy, and at times belligerent towards prayer. But we must keep doing it, even if it's against our desire, because our entire life is a form of continuous prayer. Every thought, every word, every action that we take, it's a form of prayer. It's prayer without ceasing. It's important not to pray always with the same words and thoughts. Our prayers, you know, should vary, reflecting the different experiences of our daily living. To develop a relationship with God, just like with a good friend, you know, I had to take time to talk to God, to deepen that relationship. You see, if I want to be a friend with any of you, I take time. How much do I love God? Well, how much time do I spend talking to God and meditating on God? How come Hector can watch 3 hours of television and then he has difficulty doing 15 minutes in the morning with God? How come? You know, although we may pray at different places, in different places and at many different times of the day, it's important to set a time for our communion with our higher power. We must develop our own spiritual practice. That's what I was taught. I have to dedicate a certain time of the day to God. Prayer needs preparation and discipline, because we must be still in our bodies and quiet in our minds. I must say, for the next time, 5 or 10 minutes, nothing matters but my time with God. What I'm about to do is a sustenance for my spiritual growth and the essence of my entire life. God has all my needs met. Or like the book says, God could and would if He were sought. Notice, it doesn't say God can and will. Could and would. And then a big qualifier, if He were sought. So how do I seek God? Through prayer and meditation. For some people, the proper form of prayer is on their knees, to show reverence and respect for their Creator. Kneeling is meant to be a position of discipline, not of comfort. And the highest form of prayer is silence, because silence is the language of God. That's what the saying says, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say run around, you know, with the cell phone, eating and drinking and driving and know that I am God. Be still, Hector. Take time to hear the inner still voice, the still small voice of God. Also, the book tells me pray only for God's will. And the power to carry that out. Because I basically don't know what's good for me. I can pray, you know, for for you, to God to bless your life, to bless your family. But I say, I can even ask for the right, because I may ask for a Cadillac, and God has a Rolls Royce in mind for me. Like once I prayed for, when I was new, I prayed for that relationship, and God gave me a dog. Because he knew I was too sick to have a relationship with another human being. You see? So, in how much I love God, how much time do I spend with God? I remember one of the guys at my men's stack says, oh, Hector's always talking about God, you know. But God doesn't work as fast as my drinking did. And he was right. And I said, Larry, how much time do you spend drinking every day? About 3 or 4 hours. Good. Can you imagine what happened to your life if you spend that much time talking to God? No, he spent like 1 minute in the morning. You see, but he spent 4 hours a day drinking. I have to remember that God is the only sustenance in my life. You know, this omnipresent power, the power that created the entire universe, that makes the cosmos rotate in perfect order. The power that takes an embryo and makes it into a beautiful baby. The power that takes a little seed and makes it into an immense tree. That power is percolating inside of me. That's what we say when we say, our Father. If thou God is my Father, I'm his child. All the affable qualities of God are inside of me. And also, I have to distinguish between the spiritual life and the material life. I cannot pray for things because God is not Santa Claus. See, everything that God can give me is already inside of me. Peace, love, prosperity, compassion, joy, harmony, abundance. It's all inside of me. My job is to work in the step is to access that which is inside of me. But people want more, 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 more. Prosperity has nothing to do with getting something. It has to do with me allowing myself to receive. How much you allow myself to receive is how much I think I should get. You see? So God cannot give me anything. When a newcomer walks through that door, whatever he needs for his life is already inside of him. And the 12 steps are spiritual tools that teach me how to access what is inside of me. That's it. See, we're always praying for a different girlfriend, a different boyfriend, a bigger car, house. And you know what I learned in AA? That nothing that I see with my eyes can fix my insides. Nothing. This says, page 45, the main object of this book is to help you find a power greater than yourself that will solve your problem. It's not the right girlfriend, boyfriend, car, house. All those things are wonderful. And they give me physical comfort. But the sustenance, the peace that I need, I have to get almost only for my relationship with the power that's inside of me. You see, I kept remodeling my house. I have a beautiful home. And finally I realized that I don't live in my house. I don't live in my beautiful living room and my beautiful garden and my bathroom and my studio. I live here. This is what I have to remodel. You see? Because I'm married to Hector. I cannot get a divorce from me. Wherever I go, here I am. You know? So the 12 steps are to work on Hector. And you see, and the only two, I can go to 2 meetings a day, I can have 3 commitments, but eventually I have to spend like 20 hours by myself. And the only healing power is the power of God for us in AA. God could and would if he were sought. And how does the book end? See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. Abandon yourself to God. That's a big book. He doesn't say see to it that your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend. That is a relationship with your Cadillac. And I love my Cadillac, you know what I mean? I love driving it. But you know, when I had my last suicide attempt, I had a new Mercedes. It didn't fix me. See, also, step 11 is not optional. I had to do it. And it's interesting that this step 11 is prayer and meditation. It's not meditation and prayer. I pray, and then I have to be still. I have to listen. Because the kingdom of God is inside. There's divinity inside of all of us. Be still and know that I am God. So the first 11 steps end up in silence. And I repeat, because silence is the language of God. See, in order for me to access that consciousness, that God consciousness, I had to be quiet. And we know about, you know, all the great leaders of the world, Buddha, Christ, Mahatma Gandhi, all of them did a great deal of prayer and quietness. Because that is how God can really talk to me. Okay. And also I talked about, you know, saying that our life is a continuous form of prayer. It was said 2,000 years ago, as a man thinketh, so he is. Everything that I think eventually manifests in my life. In physical or spiritual form. See, the book says our disease is physical, mental, and spiritual. But if we take care of the spiritual, the other two will follow. The spiritual is the highest one. This is power. Whether you call it God, the universe, I don't care. They manufacture things. And it manufactures through my mind. If I say, oh, life sucks, I'm not going to do anything, the universe is granted. I'm too old to just go walking on that. I'll probably die in a year. The universe is granted. Oh, he likes misery. Let's manufacture more misery, so he's really happier with that. But if I get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for my sobriety. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my life. Oh, he likes that. Granted. Let's give him more of that. You see, everything that I think is a form of prayer. Everything that I speak is a form of prayer. See, when I teach the kids that I sponsor, you know, I remember with Danny, he had never had a job, right? And he has his first job in Argentina. He came from a good family, so he was really a bum. And I said, you had to get a job. He said, well, the only job I have is, you know, serving coffee at this coffee shop. Fabulous! What a great opportunity to work your program. And this is what I told him. And you may or may not understand it. I don't care. I'm going to say it. I said to him, that's not a coffee shop, Danny. That's a church. And you're a minister there. And people who come to that coffee shop, they don't come for coffee. They come there so you minister to them. And you don't minister to them by hitting over the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous or the Bible or the Quran. No, 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 no. You minister to them by loving them. By treating them with love. You see, so they are healed when they are in your presence. Because there are only two kinds of presence in life. You know, a healing presence and a judgmental presence. Either I'm in judgment or I am, you know, in love with God, attuned with God. And you know what? This kid who never had a job, when he left the job a year later, everybody kept asking for him. They loved him so much. So whatever your job is, remember, truck driver, gardener, doctor, teacher, whatever it is, whatever you work, it's not an office. It's a church. It's a temple. And your ministers, whether you like it or not. You see, it's easy to talk about God and metaphysical truth and, you know, religious truth. The proof of the pudding is how I carry out in all my affairs. See, when somebody came and set up this chair, that's God in action. That's God made visible. You know, when whoever does the coffee, that's God made visible. He's doing God's work. You know, that's what I believe. It's important to me also to pray before I get off the, I get out, I get off my bed because I really, really, sometimes I get up in the morning and I'm in such a bad mood. I remember the speaker last night said the same thing. You know, we speakers sound like, you know, I sound like Mother Teresa, right? Put me in traffic and I become Charles Manson, you know? So if I, and especially if I don't do my prayer. You see, once they asked Jack C., how come when you drive, you're so calm? And he said, because I only drive my car. When I'm driving your car and her car, and especially his car, you know what I mean? See, you see, the 12 steps, prayer and meditation, is to change Hector. Because the world is always a reflection of who I am. We don't see them as they are. We see them as we are. A world is always a reflection of who I am inside. Actually, that's a world of illusion. What you're seeing right now is not the real Hector. This is his body temple. The real Hector is inside of him. And that's what the 12 steps in prayer and meditation are, the tool, the spiritual tools to change my perception of the world. I give you an example. Two people walked this morning in this meeting. One says, oh, what a horrible meeting. You know, who is that idiot talking? You know what I mean? The other one walks in and says, oh, this is beautiful. It's so peaceful, so nice. They're both seeing the same thing. But they both see it as they are inside. Did you notice in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, there isn't a chapter about them? I'm going to talk a little bit about, so after I pray, I shut up. That's meditation. And there are many, 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 many forms of meditation. Not one particular one is suitable for everybody. We all have to find our own path. And by the way, we come here and we, you know, participate in meetings and we hold hands and we do all this, we activities. But we enter the kingdom of God alone. Because the kingdom of God is inside of me. And you cannot enter into my kingdom of God. You see? And how do I access that kingdom of God? By meditation. You know. One of the things that I learned about meditation, I was taught, if I have any kind of desire about what I want to get from meditation, before I start meditating, what he should tell me. And the whole purpose of meditation is to surrender to the inner beauty that is inside of all of us. You see? And by the way, you hear a lot of people say, you know, well, I'll get rid of this character defect in God's timing. God's timing is always in the now. Now. God doesn't have any problem to remove your puny little defect right now. He has this awesome power that created the entire universe, the mountains, the river, and he's going to have problem with my little resentment against my neighbor. God is always in the moment. I read something that Marianne gave me, you know, talking about, you know, that the past is but an illusion or a dream, and the future is an illusion. And it's totally correct. Life is only in the now. God is always in the now. God is not I will be or I was. I am now. You see? And that's what it is. That's what meditation is for. To really, really access that now. And I always feel after I do my meditation, and I would say I meditate probably 90% of the times. You know, some days I forget or something, or I'm waiting someplace in the bank or something, and I sit very quietly and just close my eyes, you know, and just be very quiet. And just listen. This is splendor inside of all of us. Chopra says, we're God and goddesses in embryo, ready to come forward. He also wrote this about the now, which I adore. defenselessness. Completely stop defending your point of view. If you stop fighting and resisting, you'll experience the present, which is where God is. The past is gone. The future is a mystery. But this moment is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Embrace the present, and you'll experience a glow, a joy, an energy that's beyond human description. I love that. See, I spend all my life, you know, when I lose an extra 5 pounds, you know, when I remodel the kitchen again, you know, I'm going to be happy. And I'm 65 years old. I have to enjoy now. I have to be present now. I have to see your faces now. I have to hug you now. The older you get, the more you wear get of that, you know, of that. When you're 25, you're going to live forever. You don't care. But at 65, I really want to do something with every second of my life. I want to be present. I want to be here. I want to see you. You know, I have some material. I think I have 50 of them. We've got a few more. There are two papers about meditation and one, what I read to you. And this one is the 8-point program of meditation. It's wonderful. It's non-denominational. It's for whatever your religion is, this works. And talks about how we should meditate. You know, it says, set up a place in your house. If you have a room, if you don't have a room, set up a place with a little chair. If you have any spiritual deities that you believe in, put them there. So when you walk in that place, you know that place is a peaceful place. It's a holy place. It's your own place. Very important to do that. If you don't have a whole place, maybe a bench that you love and you put in your garden. And just be there in that place. Okay? Some people, there are physical meditations. Some people do walking meditation. When you walk in the meditation, you observe your feet. You feel your feet. When you raise one, you know what I mean? Don't pay that much attention, because really the whole point of meditation is not to be aware of the body, because that's not what the truth is. There's a meditation where people contemplate a candle. There's people who use meditation and just concentrate on the breathing. That's a meditation, you know, with the repetition of a mantra. Something, some deity, whether it's Christ or Buddha, Muhammad, whatever it is, or some saying. The paper I'm giving you talks about the Lord's Prayer. Repeat in your mind gently the Lord made me an instrument of that peace. To use that. But not try to analyze anything, just repeat it. And how do I have a conscious contact throughout the day? Whatever my mantra is, mine is, you know, God is peace, I am peace, because that's what I want the most, you know. So whatever you are, you're waiting in the line of the bank, do your mantra. You're washing your dishes, do your mantra. Develop a conscious contact with God. You walk and you see a mountain or something like, do your mantra. Emma Fox has a little booklet called The Golden Key. He says, whatever your problem is, I don't care what it is. He said, whatever your concept of God is, when they say, I'm going to kill her, right? That's it. I have a problem with my wife. I'm going to kill her. Say, repeat with the concept of God is. God is love. No. I'm going to just get a gun and just go and shoot her. You know what I mean? God is love. You know, and go back to it. He says it's the golden key, the secret to the spiritual way of life, to have that conscious contact with God. You see, I have to be conscious, not God. God knows what I am. He didn't lose my file. You know what I mean? But I have to remember where He is. You see, that this pamphlet that I'm giving you says, the secret of meditation is simple. We become what we meditate on. And obviously, if I meditate on peace, that's what I feel is the most needed quality in my life now. You know. Let me see what else I had here. There's certain things about the spiritual way of life that goes with meditation, you know. Slowing down, you know. Now, there's two things, slowness and sloth. Sloth is not a spiritual condition, okay? But it's slow down. We are in a society, we're all running around like chicken without heads. No, slow down, Hector. Drive more peacefully. You know, when you walk, be aware that you walk. Now remember when we used to just drive the car? Now we drive the car, we talk on the phone, we eat a sandwich, we are sending a fax, you know what I mean? And cursing the traffic, you know what I mean? We're doing five things at the same time. No, be still and know that I am God. It's called one-pointedness, which is also in the thing that I given you. It's one-pointedness, which is very, very important in the spiritual way of life. Do one thing at a time, Hector, and do it well. How many of you eat and watch TV? Raise your hand. Thank you. You see? No, we don't taste the food. Oh, look at the bastards, what they're doing. Oh, they should not be doing that. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Look, Enron. I should kill them. You know, and I don't even test this food. I don't see the food. I don't even know what I am. And because I'm so angry with what's going on TV, I don't even enjoy the food. I'm going to eat three times more. Because I'm not eating. I'm shoveling things out of my mouth. See, one-pointedness. When I'm talking to you, I should be watching you and listening to you. Now looking over your shoulder, see if there's anybody more interesting than you. No, see you. Talk to you. Communicate with your soul. You see, I don't do that. You know, I'm getting better. Also, the talk in this pamphlet that I have here is that training the senses. We should choose what we eat by what our body needs, for example, rather than by what the taste of our buds are. You see, I get upset and I have to have ice cream. And I don't have a little ice cream. I have, you know, 2 pounds of ice cream. You know. And also talks about one of the points here, meditation, is putting others first, which in our program is step 12. See, if I'm all thinking about me, self-centered Hector, you know, I go bananas. But when I'm thinking about you, how to help my mom, my neighbor, my sister, my wife, my husband, you know, I'm really healing. Because you taught me here that the only healing love is the love I give you. It's wonderful that you love me, but it's infinitely much more important that I love you. That's why the book says when everything else fails, it doesn't say go out and buy another cashmere sweater, does it? Go and buy somebody to love, to care, to work for. So get in touch with somebody else, help somebody else. Also, this little pamphlet, which is given to me free and I make copies, talks about spiritual reading. If I want to be in the spiritual way of life, you know, I have to read matter, spiritual matter, that really inspire me. You know, I adore this book. I don't love it. I adore it. It's one of the greatest pieces of spiritual literature ever written. Because it changed the world. Literally, it changed the world. It's the most copied, most talked about program in the entire world. We have like 2 million people. We're in 150 countries. And it's for fun and for free. I finished it 4 years of studies. You know, I belong to a religion called religious science, which is very much like, we just believe in God. You know what I mean? And what Ernest Holmes said in 600 pages, Bill Wilson said it in only 164 pages. It's quite obvious that he, with 3 years of sobriety, didn't write this book. God wrote it through him. He was just an instrument through which God can shine. He said, here, son, come here. You'll be the shepherd. You'll help
all these little alcoholics. You're the chosen one. I mean, he wrote chapter 5, I think, in what is it, half an hour with long hand. Amazing. Now, I want you to think, when you have 3 years sobriety, I want you to think when you sponsor some dummy that has 3 years sobriety, can those people write one paragraph? Could I write a paragraph? Absolutely not. And this man, who was in love with money and Wall Street, wrote the most significant book of the 20th century. Most religious groups believe that this is almost superior to any religion, because we embrace everybody. Somebody said religion, you know, is man-made and it separates us. Because I'm a Jew or a Gentile, I'm a Buddhist, you're Mormon, you know, I'm a Muslim, you're a Catholic. We're all different. It separates us. But spirituality is God-given. It unites us. It helps us to hold hand. Because this program is a communion of the Spirit. And the wonderful thing about the Spirit is that all spirits are equal. Because they're all created by God and they live in the mind of God. That's what I believe. There's no black spirit and white spirit, not gay spirit, not straight spirit, not female spirit, not male spirit, not foreign spirit, not American spirit, not old spirit or young spirit. See, the spirit is not affected by the world, the conditions and circumstances. The spirit has no age. It's eternal. It was never born and it will never die. It lives in the mind of God. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. And that's what this program works. It's a communion of the Spirit. It's not our backgrounds, our social position, our religions. No, it's a communion of the Spirit. And when you speak from the heart, you shall touch the heart of other people. Because basically, we're all one and the same. Our Father. Our Father. If we all have the same Father, we're all brothers and sisters. By the way, this pisses me off. There's no whose Father in our Father. There's no whose Father in our Father. There's no question. That's supposed to be one of the greatest prayers in the world. It's the most used prayer in the world. It was written by a gentleman 2,000 years ago. It doesn't help any help for anybody in AA. And it starts with an awesome statement. Our Father. It's an equalizer. It unites all of us. It doesn't start with a question. And you know, it's divided in seven segments. Seven precise segments. If you want to know the study it, get the Sermon on the Mount by M.F. Fox. He talks about it. Seven is the realization of the individual in numerical thinking, and also in Eastern religions. Seven is a realization of the person, the individual. 12 is a realization of the group. Okay? That's why we have the 12 apostles, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions. And our Father, the best known prayer in the world, has seven segments. It doesn't need an additional one. You know? A spiritual association, and with one of the last subjects here, and I'll finish. It talks about spiritual association, and that's what we do in AA. We associate with kindred spirits, people who believe like us, who believe in the spiritual way of life, who believe in love, who believe in service, who believe in being compassionate, who believe in being understanding. Kindred spirits. You see, when I came to AA, I thought I was a freak because I was so weird, you know. And I find all the other Hectors in AA. Some are black, some white, some old, some young, some gay, some straight. Some are very rich, some very poor. Some come from other countries. But they're all reflection of the same thing. You see, we are facets of a spiritual diamond called God. We're all one and the same. I cannot do harm to you because I'm doing harm to myself. And by the way, God doesn't punish. If I steal $10 from you, that's my punishment. That I stole $10 from you and I had to live with it. See, God is too pure and too loving to hold inequity in his being. The power of God, the essence of God, it doesn't alter. It's always love. Because love is the only healing power. That's what we do in AA. And you come and walk through that door and say, I just got out of jail, you know. I was in jail because I killed 2 people. I robbed 5 banks. What do we say? Welcome! You're one of us. Come on in. Have some coffee. And later we'll take you out to dinner. God. We're just like God. You see, we don't see the shaky, little frightened little person. We see the child of God beyond the world of illusions. We know what's inside that kid or that girl. We don't care. We see beyond that, the veil of appearances. And he's going to become the image that we have of him. And we have become the image that God had of all of us. What a great journey. And it's for fun. And it's for free. And it's always here. You know? It's almost done. I want to end. I came to AA to stop drinking, you know. And you people taught me how to live. Getting emotional. This is the best actress has ever been. You know, and because you're my teachers, whatever I am today, I owe it to you. You've been so kind to me, so gentle. One of my first teachers, Tony F., is right here. He saw me come in. You know, he was one of my role models. Thank you, and I love you.